This is Dr. Yo. Welcome to Respecting the Future. Your host is Levin Chuck Wilson, better known as Chuck. He's committed his body of work to serving individuals, families, and communities. As a social worker, he's taken the oath to be a change agent. This is the episode in the series of Planning to Succeed. It's all about defining your strategic plan and how to move from one position to another, moving the needles and mountains in your life. So let's talk to Chuck.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.
We've got Matthew Arellano, a junior from the University of South Florida. He's our guest this evening. Matt, can I call you Matt?
Yes, you can.
All right. We've got part two, and the conversation continues with Chuck. Now, we were talking about preparedness in college. Is it about fun? Is it about partying? So, Chuck, what is it really about?
Well, first of all, welcome back, Matt, for part two. Go yes. Bulls, go Bulls,
go
right?
Go Bulls, go Bulls. Thank you for having me here again.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's start out with you, Matt. Do you have any questions? Let's start out with you. I don't want to just jump in and start talking. You are our guest, so you know. Let me hear some of your some new questions that you got from some of your colleagues and that type of stuff.
Yeah, no problem, man. So when you're meeting people, what are some of the key traits that you see that might encourage you to want to foster a relationship with them, be it professional or personal?
Well, first of all, I look at who they are, what is their personal message.
Okay.
You know, when you're talking to a person, you know, you don't have that 20-second elevator speech. From the point of saying hello, you and I, we frequent Starbucks. We'll get them some free advertisement tonight. Well, you work with Starbucks, so
yes.
You greet people all the time. And that matter of fact, that's how we met. So at the point of contact, being able to say hello. And then the next thing is, well, how are you doing? You start a conversation. Now, all of a sudden, you're looking at the communication style, the nonverbals, the eye contact. That makes you want to say, you know what? I want to get to know that person better. So it starts there. And then that leads to so many other different things.
Okay. So sort of first impressions really matter when meeting new people and putting your best foot forward, maybe being a little bit more positive than you might normally be with your friends would be.
Well, I think it's about your character. When you are who you are all the time,
mm-hmm.
like if character, well, you know, let's talk about character and personality.
All right.
You know, personality is what we project. That's what we want people to see. You know, when you wear, you know, a certain style of clothes, certain eyewear, certain tennis shoes, that's projection.
Okay.
But character is that person that's the person you are when no one is looking. That's the true you, right? And so when you have that altruistic agenda to be concerned about everyone, to want to listen to people as they're speaking, to want to engage, to just want to be kind to people, well, that comes out in just your hello.
Okay.
It has a feeling of altruism. It has a feeling of genuineness. It has a warmness to it. So that's really where we start. It's not about the outer appearance is your character. It's what's on the inside. What's on the inside will radiate every time. It'll outshine Armani and all Hugo Boss and all that other stuff that's out there. What's on the inside is critical.
So sort of manifesting whatever message you follow inside and projecting outwards to those around you.
Absolutely, because what's on the inside, that's something that you pursue and talk about every day. That's who you are. When you and I are talking at Starbucks, we're chewing the fat over a white chocolate mocha or whatever, we're having philosophical conversations about basically who we are and what we see. You follow me?
Yeah.
Naturally, it's organic. It's not something that we have to make up. So the same thing when you meet someone, people will pick up, and that's how you build relationships. That's where it starts.
Okay. So another question that I have is in regards to the PBS theme from last season, Are there times when in a team environment, the message of PBS may be applicable, maybe in group assignments or work-related projects? And if so, how would you confront the issue as a group?
Wow, that's a really good question, Matt. And so listen, audience, what Matt is referring to is the PBS that we talked about in last season. Now, there's some very strong language that I'm about to use. So PBS originated by us sharing about being a pig, bitch, or slave, but going to and leading to being powerful, bold, and strong. So I think what you're asking me is in teams or assignments or in the workplace, how do you go from being the negative PBS to the powerful, bold, and strong? Is that what you're asking me?
Correct.
So basically, if I'm in, let's use assignment for example. Since okay. you're a junior at USF, let's just use an assignment. So you have an assignment. It's a research project. You get it at the beginning of the semester. It's on the syllabi. It's worth 50% of your grade, right? And it's a team project. And you have five people on the team. And each person has a particular job to do.
Right.
Well, midway through, you realize that there's only really three people doing the work.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that happens more often than not.
Right. So the first thing I would do is at the very beginning, all college students, listen to me very carefully. If you notice a slacker from the very beginning, address it from the very beginning. Do not allow for it to linger on, because what happens is if you wait to the middle of the semester, now you do have that pig type of mentality. That means you know it's muddy. It was muddy on day one of class or day one when the project started. It's 9 weeks into the semester, it's still muddy. Well, that's a pig situation. You're wallowing in something. So how to cut that off is address it from day one. Have some ground rules. Say, listen, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to communicate. And also keep your professors updated so they'll know, listen, this is what's going on. This is how we do it. Now, in the workplace, workplace is a little different because now you have politics involved, you have money involved, you have careers involved, you have a whole different level of dynamics. One thing that I would recommend, Matt, as you're going through college, is not to be beholden to the dollar.
Okay.
Because when you are beholden to money, you are afraid to say what's truthful. You're afraid to advocate for what's right. Example, if we go back years and years ago, if we talk about slavery, if we talk about the Industrial Revolution, if we talk about the various periods of times that we've had in America, we always had people that were not afraid to stand up for what was right. You follow me?
Yes.
The moment that you are afraid to say this is right or this is wrong at the workplace, that means you have to ask yourself, why? Why can't I advocate for this? If you're so beholden to that dollar, meaning that, you know what, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to ruffle the feathers, I'm not going to make any waves because I need to keep my mortgage paid, I need to keep my car payment paid, I need to do this, I need to do that. Well, what's happening is you are preventing righteousness to actually happen on the job. So you're actually creating a PBS environment, because you won't stand up for what's right. But for those people, you know the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the oil?
Yes.
Well, I believe, now you do have to be delicate on how you do, and you have to be diplomatic on how you do, how you communicate. But you cannot, you should not be in a situation where you, at work, where things are going wrong, things are being, the integrity is not there, games are being played, and you just sit back and let things happen to your colleague. You won't say anything. Say, well, I'm not going to say anything. They should speak up for themselves. No, that's not how America, that's not how we became great. You know, we have people saying, let's make America great again. I believe that in some context, one, we have to go back to saying, you know what, let's protect each other.
Okay.
Regardless of ethnicity, religion, and all that other stuff.
I can get behind that.
Let's make sure that we're advocating for what's right. Let's be intentional about what's right in the workplace, and then that way we will limit. I don't think you can stop PBS at the workplace or in school or anywhere else, but I do think you can fight it when you are intentional about doing the right thing.
Okay, so integrity being paramount.
Absolutely.
In that situation. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. I know before we recorded, we were having a conversation about hardships making people grow and really giving them a sense of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Through dealing with the hardship, through overcoming it, and through becoming a better person on the outside. So I want to ask, in your life, what may have been a key moment of conflict that you overcame and how it changed your view or changed your life?
Well, I don't know if I had a conflict, but I do believe that we all are the sum total of our experiences. And I'm fortunate enough at my age to have had a lot of experiences. I think the goal in anybody's life is to be able to say that. To be able to say that you've had a lot of experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. Just to be able to say that you have a lot of experiences is something great to say. So going back to my childhood, growing up without my father, I know who my father was, but going out without your father didn't prevent me from succeeding. I had a lot of good men around me. My mother is a phenomenal, still, Dr. Brenda Riley, give her a shout out, still a phenomenal leader, mother, and mentor to me. One of the things that I share a lot, you know, my mom didn't have money. She didn't have a lot of financial things and a lot of stuff to give us. But what she was rich in was knowledge. My mother was rich in integrity. She was rich in just being able to share her experiences. And just recently, I was there visiting my mom, and she was able to share some stories that had plagued her when she was a child. So I think communication is something that my mother passed on to us, because I tell you a story. It was one Thanksgiving. I was in the third grade, so however you are in the third grade. We were living on a street called Cherry Street. It was Thanksgiving, and my mom had cooked all the food that we had, And we had a dog. We had a black terrier named Poo Poo. And Mop and Glow, it just came out. And my mom had mopped the floor with the Mop and Glow and so on and so forth. I had walked the dog. We came in the house, and Poo Poo comes running in the house, and he slides. Now, we had a table. The kitchen table had a bad leg, right? And so Poo Poo comes running through the house,
and
he tried to stop, and he couldn't. He slides into the bad leg. All the food falls on the floor. I think it was the first time I ever saw my mom cry. But she didn't cry long. She went in the freezer. Now, we didn't have much left. And I remember there was a half a pack of hot dogs in the freezer. Well, that probably was the best Thanksgiving that I ever had, because my mom, you know, you've heard the saying, take lemons and make lemonade.
Right.
She took a tragic moment. I mean, it was a painful. It was Thanksgiving Day. The dog is trying to eat the stove top stuffing off the floor, and we end up eating hot dogs for Thanksgiving, right? Well, what my mom showed me that day was it was not about the food. It was about being thankful. It was not about the food. It was about being a family. It was not about the food. It was about communicating. It was not about the food. It was about the love. It was not about the food. It was about the integrity. And what she did that day created history. I'm talking about it some 40 years later. So that's why I say all the time, what you do now will be your history at some point. So no matter what your socioeconomic status is, we all are the sum total of our experience. Make the day count. Live each moment as if it's your last moment. Enjoy your life and learn your experiences. And when you mess up, say, hey, okay, what were the lessons of that time?
I agree.
Okay.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. That was really cool. I don't know if my mom would react the same way to having an entire
My mom might have said a few cuss words, but I didn't want to put that out there. You know, my mom is a preacher now, so, you know, she don't, I'm sure she didn't want the world to know she might have said a cuss word.
I don't believe it.
I don't remember. She may have, though. I won't put it past Dr. Rowdy, but she might have. Go ahead.
Then what do you think that the hardships or maybe struggles that people, from your perspective, that people in my generation are facing, and how is it comparable to what people in the past have faced? Because we might not have the same strife. We might not have the same situation because things change over time. From your perspective, what do you think we're going through?
Well, what I think what you're going through, as well as I went through the same thing, is understanding or having other people thinking. Let's just use that. Having other people thinking means that whatever you do, whatever you're involved in, whatever you're pursuing, consider the other people. Consider people around you. Consider your parents. Consider your colleagues. When you have other people thinking, you won't make decisions that appear to just be selfish.
Oh, are you saying, like, keep a almost a council of people to help in your efforts of making decisions?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, when, example, if you're a college student, you get ready to graduate.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, you've got your first job, and your parents, your mom, your dad, or whoever has, you know, worked hard, did overtime to put you through school, and you decide, okay, I got my first job. I'm going to buy me a new car. I'm going to buy me get me a new apartment and get all the stuff that goes along with it. And you forgot all the stuff that your parents did for you. You didn't even consider that, you know what, let me not buy this car, this type of car right now. Let me see if my mother has enough in her retirement to retire. Let me see if my dad needs a little extra or something, because he's been working a long time and I'm making decent money now.
So being considerate to those who are helping you, and you might not even know
you don't
the extent
consider,
of it.
Yeah, it's not, it's the other, that's what I mean by other people thinking. You ask me what's going on in your generation. From my perspective, and I'm saying this is for everybody, but not just your generation, but even for my generation, having that other people thinking. When you pursue something, don't just pursue it for yourself. Pursue it for your environment. Don't just develop your economical environment for Matt.
Greater community.
Think about your family. Your parents got you to this point. I don't know your parents, Matt, but I'm sure they're great, and we like to say hello to Matt's parents.
They're absolutely wonderful, and they've helped me out so much.
Right. So your parents have gotten you to this point. My thinking is, and my perspective is, that now it's time for you to start planning for the future. And it can't just be for Matt. It has to be for your family. Now your parents are getting to that age where they may have to start retiring and can't, you know, won't be able to work. Their body is changing. You have to create in your own environment, whether it's your economics, your social life, whatever, you have to include your family. Say, you know what? I'm going to do this because I'm going to now I have to take care of my parents. Or I may have to help with my siblings or my nieces and nephews. So having other people thinking is the piece that I want to really drill on, not just for your generation, but our everyone's generation, because I think that alone will help change our economy when we have other people thinking. Nothing wrong with being a capitalist. Nothing wrong with being an entrepreneur. Nothing wrong with having things. But when it's only about you, when you're only doing things about you, you're working in a silo, you're working in isolation, and so it really will impact you in a negative way at some point.
Okay, well, that really answers my question, and thank you so much.
Matt, the close is out. We just want you to make sure that you have other people thinking. Pursue things that you can give away.
Yes, yes. I completely agree with that.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you.
Glad you joined in on our conversation. For more Let's Talk to Chuck episodes, sign up and follow us on Podomatic, iTunes, and Player FM. You can also reach out to Chuck via email at leventu, that's L-E-V-E-N, the number 2, at me.com. We hope that this episode will help you to make the choice decisions that respects your future. Remember to tune in to our next conversation with Chuck. We want to say thank you to our engineer, Sam Walton. Until then, it's all about moving the needles and mountains in your life.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.